World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Just wondering, as you join me here on the, what is it today, my granddaughter's birthday, our granddaughter's birthday, today on the 3rd of October. I wonder how much of an awakening that's really, really going on. Understand exactly where we are. And those of you who tune in here regularly, thank you for those of you who do, know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What does that mean? What does that mean in the average church today? If somebody were to go in there and give out $1,000 for the correct answer, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If that was all we spoke about in church, that'd be about 6 months, wouldn't it? Explaining just that aspect of the gospel. That's why I know the Bible is, I know the Bible's true. Not the interpretations of the Bible. Not the way some people interpret what they read in the Bible. But the Bible is so, it's so true. It's just so true. The laws, if there's no God, where did the laws come from? Law of thermodynamics, the law of gravity, the law of... Where did those laws come from if there's no creator? They just popped out of nowhere? Out of nowhere? And see, the smarter, the wiser we think we get, the more research we do, the more in-depth study we find, we think that we don't need the Lord because we can figure all this stuff out. But everything that we're dealing with here, everything, this computer, this multimillion-dollar studio I am, this cell phone that I have, where Laura Ann can be up someplace clear up in Chicago and text me and I get it in an instant. See, that was, none of that stuff, none of that technology is created by man. None of that was, we didn't invent anything. We discovered things. And it's everywhere we look. And the denial of the source of all that power and knowledge and understanding is, we don't even teach it to our kids. We don't even teach it to our kids in schools. We just think that just out of the brilliant mind of men that all of this stuff has been discovered. And there's an evil, evil force, folks. You can call it the devil, call it whatever you want to. There is an unbelievably evil source at work in our midst. And, you know, somebody said to me the other day, Coach, said, listen, every religion has a boogeyman. Well, I guess that's true. Every religion does, because there is such a thing as good and evil. There really is. And where did the idea of good and evil come from? Well, I know where they came from. They came probably from the biblical source, right? Jesus is good. The devil is bad. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It's all right there in front of us. And the denial of God's people to the power that he's given to us is staggering. It's staggering to me today. It's just staggering. And how really the far beyond. Now look, I always run this risk. I was on with Mary Crowley last night. Thank you, Mary, for having me on. Maybe I'm a little tired because it was late last night. The church is the church. If we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, excuse me, is the only thing we're supposed to talk about is Jesus? Is that really all we're supposed to talk about? Just Jesus, 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 getting saved, and being prosperous. And is that really all we're supposed to say? Or is it in every aspect of your life and my life, yes or no? Is it a constant battle in your life between good and evil? Just even in your own mind, when you get an opportunity, something comes into your life, gives you the opportunity to do something wicked that nobody will find out about, how great a temptation that is not to do it. So there's this powerful force of good versus evil is at work in every aspect of our lives. And I always flash back to what John F. Kennedy said before they blew his head off, right? Infiltration, not invasion. It's through this infiltration into making, I got to call it like it is, all right? And the infiltration to making the gospel of the kingdom of God almost irrelevant in what's going on in the world. Would you all agree with me on that? The gospel of the kingdom of God is alive somewhat within the church, maybe within
Amen.
The church. But it has no impact on what's going on outside of the church. If there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, and if we do wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, if there is a devil and there is a Savior, if there are demons and there are angels, why in the hell, pardon me, is the church actively teaching people about this spiritual warfare? What is going on? Weather manipulation? You bring up anything out of the norm in the mind of the average person, and they don't even have the ability to think outside some little freaking box that somebody stuck them in the seventh grade. They will not receive the truth. That's what the Bible says. They won't receive the truth. And so those who are all hunkered down and believing all the lies that are around them, even though when the lies get exposed, they see that the lie's been exposed, they still won't stand up and say, damn it, you guys lied to me. They'll still go out and vote for him. They'll go out and vote for him. So you know, Republican good, Democrat bad. And I'm going to tell you this. Well, they're all in on it. They're all in on it. So my wife said to me today, honey, read this. Spencer, number one, Ecclesiastes 1:18. And I said, dude, there it is. There I am, 24 hours a day. I'm not kidding you. Well, sometimes I sleep. Number one, did I not send that to you? Knowing me, I probably didn't, Spencer. Yeah, I did. Look at this. Look, can anybody say amen when you read this? For in much wisdom is much grief.
Amen.
Hey, Vinny, that would be about 10 booms.
Boom.
And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Isn't that something? The more you learn, the more grief you have. That's why people don't want to deal with it. If all this stuff that we're talking about, that they're calling conspiracy theories, if they are real, you understand the sorrow that's associated, comes with that? You understand that? You understand that? Do you understand why people still don't want to believe that the vaccines are killing people? Do you understand why? Because if they come to that, they have much grief and much sorrow. And so we put a shield around us, blinders on, and they put us into the Bible and don't want us to look up at anything that's going on. Just sit there and read your Bible and not look out here and see forces of darkness that are at work everywhere that you look. Oh, Lord, I don't want to say that. Holy Spirit, I do not want to say that. Okay, but I will. I will. how do I say it? I am convinced that many, 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 many American Christians love Israel more than America.
Amen.
There I said it. And to me, it's the programming of the church. The church has been programmed. Huh? 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 Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not gonna ride that horse today. I want you to know where Coach Dave is coming here on the third day of October 2024, in much wisdom is much grief. That's where I am. That's where I am. And I can't believe. Did you guys ever? I was a teacher, school teacher. I ended up teaching what they called special education. I don't even know what the hell that word means. Special education usually doesn't have anything to do with the ignorance or intelligence of a child. It has to do with learning modalities. So that's it. Say, Coach, that's a big word. What do you mean? The way people learn. We don't all learn the same way. And so they put a child in the first grade, and he has a different learning modality. He doesn't learn by reading. He learns by touching and feeling and emoting. That's how he learns. But because he doesn't fit into the normal educational process, they say, oh, he's a slow learner. He's a slow learner. I've shared this with you before. This is back, this has been 20 years, 25 years ago. The cell phone, we didn't even have cell phones. And I was doing some paperwork. I taught special education. And I could tell you the kid's name. His name is Marty. And I was doing his IEP, which that's a whole nother bunch of malarkey. But anyway, individual education plan. Because Marty's in he's a sophomore in high school and can't friggin' read. He can't read. How do you get to be a sophomore in high school and not read? How does that happen to you? They're all throughout the schools, though, folks. All throughout the schools. Anyway, I said, hey, Marty, pardon me a minute. What's your phone number? I got to put it on this chart I'm working on. What's your phone number? And boom. I'll never forget. It was a watershed moment in my educational career, and I was about done teaching. He said, 740-682-2884. And I about fell out of my chair. How many people do you know that type it with their finger when they tell you their phone number? But that was the way Marty learned, and ain't nobody ever taught him that way because he didn't fit into the educational system. He was labeled slow learner, developmentally delayed, developmentally handicapped. And I was doing another one. Bear with me a second here because I'm talking to you. I had another young girl. She couldn't read. She was a sophomore. She was the sweetest thing. And she couldn't read go. She couldn't read go. She's a sophomore in high school. She in the special education class. And so I was working with her one day individually in this thing called trying to just help her read. And this thing called the phonics game came out. Phonics game. P-H-O-N-I-C-S. By the way, why are phonics P-H? Phonics should be F, shouldn't it? But there's a telephone P-H. And a P-H sounds like an F, but an F. You with me, right? And so in this phonics game, it shows you what the sounds make. And it's a card game, and you're playing it. And she and I are just playing. Individually, we're just playing this phonics game. She's learning the sounds and the phonics, phone, right? There it is, phonics game. And all of a sudden, you matched cards. It's kind of how you did it. And all of a sudden, the color drained out of her face. And she said, nobody ever showed me that before. Boom. She was off and reading. So it wasn't that she was developmentally delayed. They were teaching her something she didn't understand. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't care how many, I don't care. I just don't care. It's all over me today. It's all over me today. Jesus loves American Christians as much as he loves Jewish Israelites. Sorry if that shakes your booties. We are so not focused on America and American Christianity and American ideals and American stuff being taught to our children. I'm talking about the church. Don't have any friends out there. Anybody say amen, Coach? I'm with you. I'm with you. We are so missing the mark as we're teaching everybody about it. Huh? I'm just telling you.
Amen.
I'm not saying Israel's not important in this general theme. I'm not saying any of that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But somebody help me out here. You ever feel as a Christian, an American Christian, you were a second-class citizen in the religious world? I do. I feel that way. I feel like I'm a loner sometimes. And sometimes I come down and say, should I talk about this? Should I talk about this? Because of, you know why? Huh? If I keep talking about it, Michelle, here's what's going to happen. In much wisdom is going to be much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Do I really want to dive into that, or I just want to go along and get along like everybody else does? Woe is me. I'm not feeling. I'm just trying to emote with you today about where I'm coming from and what I'm feeling. I got so much stuff. You do know this, don't you? That storm was directed. You do know, don't you, that our government has the ability to direct storms. What do you think happened in Maui? Come on, tell me you understand this, right? You do understand this. You do know that there are guys today. I have all this. I'm not going to pull it up here. Stay with me a second. I got people lining up already. There are men who are taking private helicopters and flying down into North Carolina and Tennessee and wherever all this devastation is, and it's unbelievable devastation. And understand that there are people trapped up on top of those mountains that cannot get out of the mountains because of what? Mudslides, whatever. Joe Allen said he's 7 days. Joe lives in Georgia. I think it's Georgia. Wherever the hell you live, Joe. 7 days without power. And that there are men and women still trapped on top of those mountains. And God-fearing men who have their own helicopters are flying in and going to go up and rescue those people. And the government will not let them. Are you guys aware of that? The government won't let them.
Yep.
Folks, listen to me. They have no water. Why don't they have any water? Because the infrastructure has been broken. They had landslides. All the pipes that were in place, all the electrical wires, all the underground cables have all been broken and moved. This isn't something where the guy in the telephone company is going to pull up and reconnect your wire for you. That is not what we're dealing with here. And I just asked myself, is this just another example of judgment on America? In the Bible Belt? This happens in the Bible Belt? I'm just kind of venting here. Something's really going on that we don't understand for sure. Something really, really is going on. I'm looking over here. Oh, my goodness. Pull up Greg Reese real quick. Hang on a second. Don't play that one yet. Pull up Greg Reese. Did you guys know this? It says Greg Reese on it. That's not the one I want. Pull up the helicopter guy first. Hey, let me give you a warning. He's going to say a couple bad words here. Okay. A couple bad words. Hold your ears. Go ahead.
My name is Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit. And I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here and then we got activated, which was great. I have my team up here working as well. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground, what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a fucking clue, and they're lying. And I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government helped with that. And I mean, even USAA, I think it was USAA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Like, without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too, because she had one day left of oxygen. That no one was going to go get them. I will tell you, when we go up in the air, I probably see 40 civilian helicopters, and I might see two Blackhawks, National Guard, military, whatever they are. That's it. No one's out there doing rescues. I have my entire team up here from Florida right now, and they have no ability to go rescue these people other than what they can drive to. And the people that are in dire need, they're out in the mountains. They are completely cut off. Now, I will say, I spoke to my congresswoman down in Florida, and she's a badass, and she made a bunch of phone calls, and now we got two contracted 60s coming up here tomorrow, which is great. I love that, but like, I still don't understand why we don't have more helicopters. Like, we'll get a lot of work done with that, but there's no military. No one's doing nothing. It blows my mind. And they're not even allowing people to see what's really going on. One of our friends yesterday, they were actually escorting CNN down at Lake Lure, and they wouldn't even let CNN. The sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but I mean, it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in, the sheriff department. And it was because of a bunch of politics that they were claiming was a speaker of the House of North Carolina.
You get it, right, folks? You get it. They will not let civilians go in. When these things happen, FEMA comes in and it is total 100% government control. So we're working to try to go down. Yes, we are going. I'm working on a plan. I've heard some folks today. We are going down there, but I want to tell you this. We're going to get as far away from FEMA as we can. We're going to get as far away as any government Red Cross intrusion that we can, because I'm going to tell you, are you looking at me, friends? The government ain't your friend. They're not your friend. They are not your friend. Now, I got to play this. I know you guys want to get in there. I got to get this off my chest, all right? Pull up Greg Reese. Believe it or not, Greg Reese. Did you guys know that underneath this area up there is the world's almost only supply of lithium? You ever heard of lithium in batteries? You ever heard of stealing people's property? You ever heard of running these people off the property so they can get the lithium underneath them? Go ahead and play it. Wait a minute. Hang on. This is a conspiracy theory. Put it at 1.5 speed. It's a conspiracy theory. I want you to know that. Probably not true, because the government's here to help you. Go ahead.
We have had the technology to create, control, and steer hurricanes for decades.
Project Cirrus is the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was run by General Electric with the support of the U.S. military. The official theory was that by changing the temperature outside the eyewall of a hurricane, which they did by seeding the clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, a decrease in strong winds will result. On October 13, 1947, Project Cirrus targeted a hurricane heading out to sea. Approximately 180 pounds of dry ice was dropped into the clouds. The crew then reported a pronounced modification of the cloud deck, and the hurricane abruptly changed direction and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. The public blamed the government. Irving Langmuir, who pioneered General Electric's Atmospheric Research Department and admitted that the project was about learning how to weaponize the weather, also claimed the reversal of the hurricane had been caused by Project Cirrus. But the government denied it for 12 years. After a short delay, the project officially continued, and in 1965, Project Storm Fury had targeted Hurricane Betsy for seeding. On that day, the storm immediately changed direction and made landfall in southern Florida. Congress blamed it on Project Storm Fury, but the government claimed that the hurricane shifted before they ever had a chance to seed it. And after 2 months of congressional hearings, the project was allowed to continue.
In 1997, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted we have the technology to control the weather, including earthquakes and volcanoes. The U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. In October of 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave imagery shows a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexplained left turn into New Jersey. The push towards alternative energy demands more lithium, and according to the U.S. Geological Survey, the United States has over 6 million tons of identified lithium resources. The majority of this lithium has been identified in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Kings Mountain is believed to have one of the largest resources in the world, but the biggest problem is that people live there, and they don't want their quiet towns turned into lithium mines.
People in Terrell have been pushing against a proposed lithium mine for the last several years, but everyone we spoke with here said it's too divisive of an issue to share their opinion on camera. Terryville is a small, quiet town.
I think that's good that we keep it small.
So quiet, many don't feel comfortable speaking out against Piedmont Lithium's proposed mining operation nearby.
I think we're a silent majority. I think a lot of people are afraid to say anything about it because they are bringing a lot to the town as far as money.
Last year, the Department of Defense entered a $90 million agreement with Albemarle Corporation to increase domestic production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain, specifically from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, starting by 2025. This is the same area experiencing what is being described as biblical floods. While the federal government spends billions on foreign wars and illegal immigrants, they simply cannot be bothered with the health and well-being of the American people, especially those living on coveted, mineral-rich land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
What do you think, huh? What do you think? But see, it's a conspiracy theory if you begin to talk about that, letting people die. I could go on and on and on. And on and on and on. We have no idea the unbelievable, they call it biblical. Why would they use that? I thought in this secular world, why would they call it biblical proportions? Why this is a belt flood, a disaster of biblical proportions. In other words, maybe the Bible was true, that the judgment did come. Has judgment come into the Bible belt for by accident? It just kind of happened, that storm. And hey, come on, you guys have been around a while, right? Anybody ever know in the history of America, a hurricane hitting? Now listen to me. A hurricane blowing over mountains and not getting weaker. Ever heard of that? Ever? Mountains break up wind. They break up hurricanes. Not this one, baby. Not this one. This one came rolling in there and caused landslides and something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I got one more. I'll get to it in a minute. I didn't even get a chance to talk more about masculinity today, which is what I want to do. Debbie, you're first up. Go ahead. You got to unmute yourself, Demi. I hit you quick. Maybe you're across the other side of the room. John Brockoff, come in while we wait for Debbie.
Good morning. At the beginning of the show, you asked, what does that scripture mean that says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? Well, you know, I'm a fundamentalist and I'm never going to contradict the Bible. But so the verse tells you itself what it means. It's talking about spiritual warfare.
That's right.
It does not mean that in the physical realm that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. We do. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese were flesh and blood. The Nazis and the Japanese during World War II were flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. And during the Revolutionary War, the Redcoats were flesh and blood.
Amen.
So if the FBI is monitoring things like this show, together intel, I'm sure that the two verses they would most like to hear us quote are, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the other one is, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, again, that's talking about spiritual warfare.
Amen.
But the weapons of our warfare in the physical are carnal. B-52s, the B-52 is a carnal weapon. An aircraft carrier is a carnal weapon.
Locking people up for J-6 is a carnal weapon, isn't it?
Yeah. So we should never say or do anything to signal our enemies that we're afraid of them.
Mm. Or disarm ourselves in a physical war. That's why they want to take our guns, isn't it, John? That's why the Second Amendment's under attack. They want to disarm us in the physical realm.
Yeah. So
as they control the spiritual realm. Well, hey, let me show you this one. I got you, John. I got to move on. Pull up number one, FEMA for illegals. Have you guys seen this? You want to talk about something? Oh, my God. I want to scream. Biden-Harris administration used FEMA disaster funding for illegal immigrants. Did you hear Biden say the other day, or somebody, one of the spokesmen said that they don't have any money? Sorry, we don't have any money. We're going to send everybody $700. That's all we have. Well, why is that all they have? Because they used FEMA money for illegal immigrants. The Biden-Harris administration took more than $1 billion tax dollars that had been allocated to the agency responsible for America disaster relief and used it to offer services for illegal immigrants. Federal Emergency Management allocated nearly $364 million in fiscal year 2020 and $650 million in 2024 for shelter and service programs for illegal Americans. That's a boom. Adam, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. You know, the Bible verse that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Everybody thinks that word perish means to die, but it doesn't. It means to run around without direction. And so how can the church have direction when its eyes are on an antichrist nation like Israel? They hate Jesus. Amen. And yet the church is like hypnotized by Israel thinking that they're on our side when they're not.
Boy, you're digging in deep here, Adam. You better be careful. You're going to lose half of your support, right? I'm just telling you, American Christians, many American Christians are more worried about Israel than they are about their own children and their own homeland. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, Coach, I'm just worried about being in the truth. I can care less what other people think of me. I just want to be in Jesus and in the truth.
I mean, that's all I want, baby. That's all I want. Thanks, Adam. Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. I just wondered if you could put these in the chat, those two first videos you presented and that last article right there. That's really interesting stuff.
You don't hear this anywhere else, do you, huh? And I'm going to promise you this. You ain't going to get a sermon on it Sunday. Israel's watchmen are blind. And when this whole thing is over, the people that are going to be most complicit with the wicked one are those standing in the pulpits. I hate to say it over and over and over. Isaiah 56, Spencer, Isaiah 56. Pull that up for me. Isaiah, go to verse 10. I want you to know that I am not making this up. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant.
Ignorant and stupid aren't the same thing. Ignorant has as its root word, ignore.
Israel's watchmen are blind. They all ignore everything that's going on around them. They have all lost the ability to speak. They're dumb dogs. Dumb. Not stupid. Ruff, ruff, dumb. Can't bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Sorry, folks, this is the Bible. Yeah, they're greedy dogs. Hang on a minute. Somebody help me out. Because some of us, we didn't have very good English education here, so I'm trying to help you here, okay? The subject hasn't changed. Who's he talking about? Watchmen. Now, we can argue over who they are. I think they're the men standing in the pulpits responsible for the flock. That's what I think, all right? So his watchmen are blind. They haven't changed
nouns or subjects in the next line. They simply went to a pronoun, which you use in place of the proper noun. Okay? So the pastors are blind. Your pastor is blind. And then verse 11. Yeah, they. Who's they? Spencer, somebody help me out. Who's they? Who is they?
The pastors.
The watchmen. They are greedy dogs. Boom it, Vinny. Which can never have enough. Boom. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. So there should be about 30 booms right there. Have you tried to go to your pastor and explain to him what's going on and he cannot or will not understand? They all look to their own way, every one from his own gain, from his own quarter. And come you, they say, come to our church campus. You come to our campus and we will give you abundant, everything that you could ever want. We believe in God wants to bless us financially. You come here, we'll get some fresh, we'll get wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink and tomorrow is going to be even better than today. That's what I see. That's what I see. In America right there, that's what I see. If you do speak up, you end up in the gulag. Ask Bill Dunphy. And then his fellow pastors lying down, loving to slumber, afraid to bark about what they did to one of their brethren. They don't even care. Why? Because they're greedy dogs. They're all shepherds, can understand. They're all looking for their own way. Campuses? Can somebody please explain to me where you will find campuses in the Bible? Well, we got a church here, but we have a campus over here, and we have a campus over here. Oh, yeah. And we just pipe it into everybody, and they're greedy dogs. And I gotta calm down. Come on in, Roger. No, I don't have to calm down. I'm just going to.
Well, no, don't calm down. Your comments are all foundational, but I think you got to really understand the money here. You know, we just sent, I think it was 300 billion or 250 billion or something.
And Roger, it isn't even money. It's just paper. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that type of money would allow us to hire every private helicopter guy in the United States.
Yeah, amen.
That type of money would allow us to transport, be it helicopter, bus, or submarine, every person to Atlanta, put every person up in a hotel for months. You know, that's the type of money that we're talking about. You could probably move them all the families that are in to Atlanta and build them a small 3-bedroom house. All of them. That's the type of money that is going overseas to countries. Our own people are dying and going to have, most of these people will not have insurance for their houses. I'm sure because the insurance companies write in, you know, catastrophic God, you know, God, something that God did or whatever. And so many of these people will not have any money to build back up.
Plus, but, Roger, you know, insurance
the
companies,
money, the type of money that we send overseas is astronomical. And it could
Roger,
house.
How about the money we spend bringing illegals in?
Well, I'm just getting warmed up. Yes, you know it's. Yeah, but the type of it could transport those people by the thousands, and build homes for them. You know, it's unfathomable what is going on.
Spencer, real quickly, see how good you are back there. Just to kind of check in the last election and see if were those red states. Or blue states, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee. Would that be with a lot of Biden voters in there, I wonder? Oh, we don't get it, do we? We don't get what's going on, see. So, friends, they drained the FEMA fund, which was supposed to be used to take care of these people. Biden said yesterday, going to give them $700. That's 10 trips to Wendy's. $700. Are you kidding me? Look, folks, look at the electoral map 2016, look where that storm went. Can you highlight it, Spencer? Well, they hit Florida, and then they went up through Georgia, and then they just kind of squealed around there, and they picked up South Carolina and North Carolina and got them a little bit of Tennessee all the way up through there as they bring in illegal immigrants into Springfield, Ohio, and the pulpits are afraid to bark. Or they don't know. They don't know. Can't you see it? Huh? What would you think? My frustration is so high. Because why? What was that? Ecclesiastes what, Spence? What was that? Ecclesiastes 18, was that where it was? Yeah, what's it say? With much wisdom is much grief. And he that learns a little bit more about what's going on increases sorrow. Come on in, Judd.
Coach, the reason for 9/11 is multifold. But when the $2 trillion showed up missing at the DOD, it wasn't shortly after we had a massive event. What's happening here is there's people that are in line, multiple people in line, wanting to audit the money going to Ukraine and the money going into the election fraud.
Mm.
This is not a coincidence.
No, follow the money always, right? Follow the money. Yep. It's amazing. Laura Ann.
Can I just pray right now? I feel like we need to.
Sure.
Thank you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. And to some point, we feel helpless and we're scared. You said your perfect love casts out all fear. There you are hearing the cries and the screams from these people. And they need you, but we all need you. You promised that your hand was not too short to save. You said we don't have to beg you for mercy because you are our God and you give us good gifts. You're a good dad who disciplines your children, but you're also a loving one. And you said you don't give us stones and you don't give us serpents as gifts. And we are asking you, Papa, to help these people so that you get the victory and that you, whatever they've got planned for the future, that you stop it now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that no more weapons formed against us are going to prosper. And what Satan meant for evil by with this thing that happened will not prosper. That you will tear down every single stronghold that's coming against you because of the people in this land who are together. They're just the people in this call they're declaring that you are Lord and Savior of their lives, who are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And in an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not because they said a prayer or we said a prayer, but because you saved us through the encounter of the blood of Jesus Christ on a cross that brought us to Resurrection Sunday, that said we were adopted, paid for, and you crushed that serpent's head. He does not have the power. Jesus does. Holy Spirit does. And you do. You have not changed. You are still our God and you are still our dad. These people need you. This is not hopeless because you are the God of hope. So send in your best right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Send in your best men and women to save, to be operated by you, to bring deliverance and healing and restoration to this land. And the enemy will not be able to possess it. No longer domestically is the enemy be able to do this? Because the United States is the shot around the world, because that is that is Jesus Christ. And it's been proclaimed and decreed right now, right here. And we have a coach and his wife that are willing to go forward and do the tush push or the safety or whatever needs to be done in the mighty, beautiful, sweet name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I watched, thank you, Lorraine. I watched a video, I don't know where it is. I couldn't save it. But one of the rescuers, one of the first responders, whatever the heck that means, said the thing that impacted him the most was the wailing. The wailing of people trapped. The bodies in trees. I saw a report of one guy who lost 10 family members. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I'm going to take a couple minutes here just to say this. You see the picture I just sent you? That's a guy in a wheelchair, missing a leg, up and down in front of my car lot every day. I got to talk to this guy. I've talked to him several times, but yesterday he pulls up to the tent. He just wants a bumper sticker about Trump. So I'm selling the hats, flags, bumper sticker stuff, or yard signs. And I walk over there. He said, how much are bumper stickers? I said, they're $2. I said, what are you going to do with that bumper sticker? Are you sticking down the back of your wheelchair? He got it one of them wheels. He just rolls up and down the road every day. He laughed. He said, I was thinking about it. He can't even afford $2 for a bumper sticker. I said, buddy, just take a bumper sticker. He got two bumper stickers. He said, really? I said, yeah. I'm using this as an analogy of just people in trouble everywhere, even right locally. So I said, I'll come in and pay you next week when I get my check. I said, how much do you get a month, Social Security? He said, $200. I said, $200? He said, yeah, I don't know how I make it. He must be living with somebody right out Columbus Road there, which is a trashed area of Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Says, boy, he said, I'll come back next week when I get paid. He said, I don't want Trump flags. $10 flag. I pay $2 for it. He says, he picked up the God, guns, and Trump. He wants that manly one. I grabbed it. I said, hang on. I went and got the flag. I said, here, take that flag. And he's looking at the yard signs. I said, you want a yard sign for your front yard? He said, oh, man. He said, I don't know if I can afford all this. So I give him the yard sign, the flag, and the bumper sticker. I said, listen, you take that, that's free. And I told him what I'm making on this stuff. But I said, buddy, it's no big deal. This stuff's cheap. But he lit up like I give him $1 million. And I said, now, don't forget, I've been telling him for about a year. We do church in the garage here Tuesday nights at 6. Now, yesterday, the way he rolled out of there with that, I sent you that picture, he's got in a wheelchair trying to wheel uphill with one leg, his two arms, hold that Trump sign. I said, hold on, I got to have a picture. I'm going to send this to Coach Dave. He's going to like that picture.
No. Well, I didn't get it. If you send it to me, I don't think I got it.
I'll send it again. You can put it up tomorrow. It was great. So then I had three kids walk down the street. The one kid, I think he's trans, two boys and a girl. And yesterday he's out there flipping people off, driving up down the road, screaming at him, acting like an idiot. I stopped him yesterday, right after this guy in a wheelchair. I said, listen. I said, buddy, what are you out here flipping people off for? I said, he looked at me in shock. He couldn't believe I confronted him. I said, let me ask you a question, young man. I said, do you believe in God? And the other boy and girl stand there listening. He said, yeah. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, well, yeah. I said, now here's the main question. Listen to me, son. And I called him son. I don't care if he thinks he's a trans. I said, does Jesus know you? He stopped. I said, no, he doesn't. And the other buddy has said, yeah, that's what he needs. Yeah, he starts screaming. Found out the girl, he was flipping off cars because somebody tried snatching that 14-year-old girl up. Just a skinny little thing on Columbus Road. I looked at her and said, listen, young people, you have a problem out here? And I looked at that girl. I said, you come deadhead running into that garage right there. I'll come out here and help save you. And they were just thanking me and thanking me. And the other little scenario is I got a guy that's been coming around for the last couple of years, 3 or 4 years. He's thought me and Pastor Bill and all of us guys were nuts. Didn't want nothing to do with us. Last couple of days, here's what he's saying. He said, JC, God sent me here. For about 2 months, God was sending me here, this car lot, to come talk to you. He said, I don't know why. Now he's coming the last 2 weeks, church in the garage, and he's getting it. He said, listen, JC, I want to apologize. I didn't really realize who you were. He said, you actually care about people, don't you? He's shocked. But now he's coming up with me two times on the square last times. This Saturday, he's bringing his books from Rodney Howard, Pastor Rodney Howard, on Marxism. He said, man, we got to start getting this truth out to these people. Mm. So we're going to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. He will still share the gospel and get them saved, but he wants to bring in the truth with it. He's coming up last two Saturdays, taking that microphone, and I'm just letting him roll. Buddy, he is on fire, but it's coming to me now. You know what I mean? And he said this the other day. He said, here's what I realized. He said, you're just like a coach. He starts talking about, you just want to put people in the game. I understand it now. He's like, but he's coming around. So we'll be on the square again Saturday, 1 to 3. We're going to bring him the gospel and the truth both.
Amen. Bring him the truth. Keep after him, Jeff. Amen. Randy.
Yeah, Coach. Well, what Lauren just did, what she prayed, Coach, is she's praying. We are all frustrated. We are all sick of this in our yep. soul, in our mind, will, and emotions, okay?
Yep.
What she's doing, what her prayer does, Coach, it brings your spirit. It brings you back into the will of God because we get out of it. We're just sick of this. Mm. So, Coach, here's the point. We got to see what God sees. Is he breaking this nation? Not just because they're stealing the FEMA funds. We know all this stuff, Coach. But yeah. Is God letting us understand that we're funding the same evil, the very thing that they're shooting the bullets back at us with? I think he's setting us up to stop paying the taxes, finally to get out of this system and quit funding the evil.
So amen.
We have to see what's coming out of this, Coach. And for instance, Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We need to give our money to the people, to Jeff Klein that's doing something, to me, to you, to us, ourselves. If we want to really give tithes and offerings, it's money that produces, Coach. We're filling these systems with our money that are not producing evil. And we just keep funding it, and we're talking out of one side of our mouth, Coach, and we're doing something out of the other.
That's right.
Contradictory. And we have to quit doing this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have to start understanding the kingdom of God and see where it is and go fund that and be part of that.
Amen.
Hey. Don Davidson said this in the chat, Coach, right back there a while ago. I got it. It hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, we listen to all the talk shows and everybody wants, what do we do? What do we do? We come here, Coach, every day. What do we do? What do we do? And God gives us a little counsel and we just look at it and it just goes right over our head, right out the door. We don't do a darn thing about it. We are not being the fix, but we are the fix, Coach.
We are the fix.
Jeff is the fix in his sphere. I am the fix in my sphere. We are all the fixers if we will be led by the Holy Spirit. Get our emotions in control and see the need. Look, this operation that we're getting ready to go help all these people, Coach, it's about the gospel. It's about the kingdom of God. We have to see this, Coach, and quit wallowing in the mire like a bunch of hogs. I'm telling you, Coach, we have to see the timing of God in everything. So I know I think it's a lot, but, Coach, we have to be doers. We are the only ones they're getting truth from.
We're it.
I just challenge everybody, be the doer in your little sphere right now, today, tomorrow, the next day. That's the role of the church.
Amen. I pull up Thomas Massey. Thanks, Randy. I'll get you, Craig. I got to get this. I want you guys to see this. Thomas Massey, J6, put it at 1.5 speed. Folks, this is unbelievable. This is an open hearing in Congress. Now, it was a couple months ago. About J6. And I'll play it.
Horowitz, over the past 3 years, I've questioned FBI Director Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland about the federal assets, such as confidential human sources that were present on January 6th at the Capitol, and they have continuously stonewalled me. We've got no answers whatsoever about this from them. Now, you announced that you were going to do a review of the DOJ response and preparation, mainly preparation, I think, for January 6th. When did you start that review? When did you announce that review?
We announced it in 2021, but we ended up pausing it because of the ongoing criminal cases, consistent with how we perform our work. We reinitiated it last year, and I'm in the process.
They opened an investigation into 911, what happened, and then they froze it while they arrested all the people that they're supposed to. Did you hear what he just said? We opened the investigation, and then they started arresting all these people, so we froze the investigation. Keep going.
Viewing a draft of the report.
So 3.5 years ago, it was announced that you'd be doing this review, and we still don't have the review, do we?
No, as I said, the reason is we paused the review because of the ongoing criminal work that would, consistent with our practice, we don't interfere with ongoing criminal investigations.
So, but now that you've restarted it, do you have evidence of the number of confidential human sources that were operating on the Capitol grounds on January 6th?
Our report will include the information in that regard.
Can you tell us today how many there were? Were there more than 100?
I'm not in a position to say that, both because it's in draft form and we have not gone through the classification review. And so I need to be careful on what.
So we're 4 years in. The reason to do these reports, I think, is so we don't make this, if there were any mistakes, not to make the same mistakes again. But we are just weeks away from the inauguration. We're 4 years, almost 4 years into this report. When is it going to be released?
It's certainly my hope and expectation, although I don't control this entirely because it has to go through a classification review, but certainly in the next couple of months is my hope.
Do you think, is there any consideration for the election about...
Put it in the chat. You understand? Do you understand what they're saying? Thomas Massey's saying that with these guys set up, and this guy's saying, well, we put a freeze on that investigation till we arrested all of them. We went out and arrested them all, and we put a freeze on it, right? So in other words, he's sort of admitting that, yeah, they did set them up, and they're going to fill the courts and the jails with guys who stood up and pushed back against the wickedness, and then we'll do the investigation afterwards. And Thomas Massey says, we're going to have a new government here in 30 days. Yeah, we'll get to it later. As Bill Dunphy rots in the freaking prison. Craig, come on in quickly.
I don't blame the people where all this befall them. I just believe they're just the first of many that might be happening. I'm going to quote something from 2 years previous on September 26, 2022. That hurricane landed September 26, 2024. This is from Calling to the People. We as a people must now bear the burden of a nation who has turned its back and withdrawn from its own historical cords of honoring scriptural and moral truths outlined in the Holy Bible. By denying these moral truths and not letting them reside in the hearts and mind of the people, as in days past, we as a people have set ourselves up for the Most High God to remove his providential hand of blessings from our nation. We have set ourselves up for judgment to be decreed upon our land. Our sins as a people, by omission as commission, have brought our country to the brink of collapse from within and amongst ourselves. Now, whether this was natural, whether this was man-made, whether this was a combination of both, the providential hand of God can say no. Or the providential hand of God can be removed and say, they have rejected me, I'm going to let them swim in it. It doesn't really matter whether it was all natural, whether it was a combination or what. God said, I'm going to allow it. Why has he allowed it? We need to repent. We need to get recentered. We need to understand you better have the hand of God over you and over your nation, or you will perish.
This is deep, folks. This is deep. Who is the spiritual leader of America? Who is it right now? Don't give me a name. Who is the spiritual leader that can stand up and speak and everybody will say, that's the Lord? Who is that guy? Who is it? Who is it? Joel Osteen? Rick Warren? Prosperity pimps? TD fakes? Who is it? Who is it? Lord, raise up a champion. Raise up a champion. We need it now more than ever. Hey, still tell you this. Sun's coming up. Judgment's a good thing. Judgment's a good thing. More you know, more sorrow you'll have. See you tomorrow. God bless.